good to see you this morning in the Lord's house. Got a good group, several of your visitors. We want you to know that you're welcome. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here every Sunday. It's good to be in the Lord's house. And I pray that you had a great breakfast, that you've had a friendly welcome. And most of all, that you feel the Spirit presence and of the touch of the Holy Spirit. May He just minister to you and bless you and in every way as we worship the Lord together. Christ is risen. That's our joy. Amen. That's our hope, that He is alive. Amen. May we pray. Father, we thank You that we could come here at this early hour, assemble in the presence of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But more than that, we assemble in Your presence. And Father, we realize that even at this moment, around the throne of God, there are the seraphim crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And that there's a multitude around the throne crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor, majesty and power." And Father, we join with that heavenly host of both the redeemed and the angels as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For You alone are worthy of our praise. You alone are worthy of our worship. You alone are our Savior, our God. And so we worship You, we worship You, we worship You. We want You to know, Lord, You're welcome here today. Speak to our hearts. May there be anointing on the music, anointing on the praying, anointing on the preaching of Your word. And Lord, may there be anointing on our ears to hear what You would say to Your people. Father, it's good to be in Your house. But we know You're everywhere we are. And so, Father, we just thank You for Your indwelling presence, Your overshadowing presence, Your eternal presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. And it's a beautiful day, actually. We didn't get the sunrise over, did we, this morning? I don't know. I was cooking eggs, but I think the sun didn't show this morning. But the clouds were there. You all were here, and it's wonderful to see you all. If you are here and you're a visitor today, you are indeed our special guest, and we thank you for coming. If you'll come back next Sunday, I'll cook another egg. I love it. But no, it's good to see you all. As we always do, each Sunday morning, we select a song from the hymn book. I still believe in the old good hymns myself for the church. And we try to sponsor one each and every Sunday morning. We're going to do that today. And we're going to talk about the fact that Christ is risen today. Christ our Lord is risen today. It's page 159. It's on the board. Let's all stand and sing it.
Christ our Lord is risen today.
seated. Captain Kangaroo and my mother. Now, you have to be a little old to remember Captain Kangaroo, but he was a kiddies guy in those days. But he taught me how to say kinger. Huh? Oh, okay. He taught me how to say please and thank you. And so I'm going to do that this morning. I'm going to thank some people first thing I want to thank is Brother Kenny for that beautiful cross outside. How many of you have noticed the new cross? It is so beautiful. Brother Kenny, you worked hard on that, I know. I know you didn't ask for that, but I got to say thank you. And it's beautiful, and we thank you for that. I want to thank everyone, Brother Jeff, and all the Baptist men and all the others that came in and helped today for breakfast. Some of you were new, brand new, and you learned what it's like to fix a breakfast for a lot of folks in a quick amount of time. And we thank you for that. You did a great job. Had a great new biscuit man on the team, egg people, new people doing things. And did it turn out okay? Is it all right? Everybody's smiling. Okay. All right. I say that so you guys can know you and did a wonderful job. And we thank you. We thank you for all of that. We thank you for coming today. We thank you for being part of our Easter service. It's a wonderful day and a wonderful time to have you here. I'm going to now share some announcements with you and that we have in your bulletin that you have in front of you. And now that Wednesday, I want to remind you all that Wednesday is our Bible study night. And we encourage you to come and be with us. We start at 6:30. It's a good time to be together and study the Word. Next Sunday is the same service schedule. But I want to remind you of the Annie Armstrong Eastern offering. It wraps up today, I guess it does, Brenda. And because we're going to be going into the Baptist Children's Home offering after that. But Annie Armstrong will wrap up today. And then the Baptist Children's Home food drive will begin. And by the April 19th, if you plan to bring food here to be delivered, you've got to have it here by the 19th, okay? So keep that in mind as we go from there. If you want to write a check and to just give them the check, you give it to Brenda, write the check.
check to Barbie's Grove and tag Children's Home, and that'll be fine. That'll get takes care of that. So, all right. Now, the next thing I see down here, we got a Boston Butt Sale coming up, Mr. Baptist Men Director. Brother Jeff, I lost you. Hello? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Wanted to say, you want to talk about the Baptist Men Butt Drive? That didn't come out right at all. Hey, it's Easter. I mean, I just... pardon me.
You lost me there.
Yeah. The Boston Butt Sale,
Boston
sir.
Boston Butt Sale.
Yeah, please.
We'll be cooking them on the 22nd. You can pick them up Saturday morning between 9 and 12. They're good. Or at least we ain't had no bad ones yet.
True. Okay.
And so, it's to raise money for the Baptist Men.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And is there any announcements that anyone would like to share? Ten Kenny. Okay. Church council meeting next Sunday. You council members, next Sunday at 11. Okay? Any others? Then as we always do, let's turn our attention now to the prayer needs of our community and our church and the world. And are those that we need to add to the prayer list this morning? I know Miss Nell Jackman. How is she doing, Kathy?
She's doing every day. It's a little bit more improvement. So just continue her prayers. And today she's back to her feisty self. She wanted to
read
books.
That's great. That's great.
Praise God.
Are there others? Yes, Rita. Tony?
Stoney.
Okay, others?
Another one. Angie Kessel that comes to our church, her grandson, Malachi Kessel, I did put him on here, is having a surgery on April 17th. I'm not sure if it's with his eye or with another disability, but just pray for him.
So that's Angie Kessel's grandson. Okay, we'll get him on the prayer list. Okay. All right, then if there's no others, we'll go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity you've given us to be in your house to worship. And Lord, on this special day, I am so glad that we can proclaim that we serve a risen Savior. I am so glad to know that I can call upon your name today, Lord, and you are the awesome God, the one and true God to all of us. And Lord, as we think about the things that we need, help us to never forget to say thank you. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you've given each and every one of us already this morning. We thank you for this nice crowd that you have here as we have together today. We thank you for those that prioritized their time and said, yes, Easter Sunday morning, we're going to get up early. And we're going to go worship. And we thank you for that. Thank you for each one that are here today. And Lord, for our visitors that are here today, Lord, we ask a special blessing upon them, as indeed they are our special guests. And then, Lord, as we go forward, Lord, and we have those that have been mentioned this morning, I want to mention that to you, Lord, as we bring the petition to you. We pray for Miss Nell Jackman as she is recovering, but Lord, she still has a ways to go. But we wrap your loving arms around her, Lord, and we pray, Lord, for healing for her body. We pray for Stoney Hatley, and we pray for Angie Castle's grandson. We lift those up to you, Lord, and ask that you fit a blessing to their needs. And Lord, we know when you fit that blessing, it'll be perfect fit. And we ask for that. And Lord, as we go forward in our service today, Lord, we want to ask your blessing upon those who will take part. We ask the blessing upon Pastor Ed as he stands before us today and as he preaches to us. We thank you for him. And we thank you for the blessings. Thank you for our praise team and for the efforts they have placed in this Sunday service. And then, Lord, as we go forward, we will always remember that all the blessings comes from you. And we thank you for your risen Son, Jesus Christ, whose name we make it this prayer. Amen. All right, praise team, come on forward if you would, please. And I don't think we got lazy this Easter. What we did, we just selected a couple songs from previous cantatas, and we're going to present those to you today. I'll let the ladies introduce them since they worked harder than I have on them. And so, Tonda and Rita and Kathy, if you would please, we'll let you do the intros of these things.
We did just sort of go through our past, some of our past special Easter songs and picked out It Is Finished, which I'm sure will be a familiar for most. And then, of course, Because He Lives, we can't leave that out. But just enjoy, sing along with us. We would love that. But it's just, we've had a great time pulling them out and singing them. Have anything to add? Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Wes.
Yes, and our sound people, thank you so much for putting up with us. As we say, no, I can't hear, or no, go back there, and it's a lot to put up with. Yeah, they work with us really well.
Yeah, my hearing aids don't work half the time, so thank you. Yeah.
So again, thank you. And we're so happy to see our big crowd today. This is beautiful. Thanks for joining us.
What are we doing first?
It's finished.
It is finished? I'm ready?
Yeah, we're going to start with it.
Okay, all right.
Start with It Is Finished.
Yeah. Life has been drawn through the ages. On that line stands the old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle. Onward side,
over to Because He Lives.
Thank y'all.
Thank you. Happy Easter to y'all.
fine.
You okay?
All right. I pray that stirred you as much as it did me. You know, sometimes I've been in services where somebody jumped out and run around a sanctuary. It'd been fine with me if somebody had done it. If you're really in the spirit and not showing off. Are they going to have children's church today or not? All right, children's church.
Children, you are
We do thank the cooks, we thank the musicians, all that had a part in the service today, and we thank you for being here. Sometimes whenever we're talking with a person who's not a Christian, not a believer in Jesus, they'll make some comments such as, well, I'm as good as most Christians. In fact, I'm better than some of those folks down at the church. Or they might say, well, I live better than a lot of folks. Or they might say, well, I'm happy, just as happy as any Christian I know. And if you're here and you're not a believer, that may be the way you feel. Is there an advantage to being a Christian? Amen. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5. And there's some warning and blessings for every believer. Chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, the last verse of that chapter says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He reminds us that there's more than what we're looking at. That we need to be thinking about eternity. We need to be thinking about the future. It's amazing how some folks can live through life and never plan ahead. I had a relative who was in construction. He lived in an area, had several kids. He lived in an area where construction was going on big time. And every spring, summer, and fall, he made basketfuls of money. But he never saved any of it. And by January, he was looking for some hole in the wall a restaurant where he could do cook breakfast, be a short order cook, make enough money to feed his family. Year after year, he made big money, but he never planned for it. And then suddenly, while I was sitting up here a minute ago, I thought of a nightmare. It used to occur to, with me about every 3 months. I went to college and seminary, and so this nightmare, all of a sudden, it's the last day of the semester. I haven't been to class a single time. I haven't turned in any assignment. And this semester's going to depend on whether or not I graduate. And I'm supposed to go somewhere and take an exam, but since I haven't been to class all semester, I can't remember which building I'm supposed to be in, and I'm flumbling through my notebooks trying to find, wonder where that exam's going to be held. And about the time I wake up in a cold sweat, I realize, it didn't happen. See, in my nightmare, I'm not prepared for that big exam. I didn't make preparation. Paul here says, you see a lot of things. You experience a lot of things in this world, but it's always temporary. You may have a classic car that's 100 years old, but if you leave it out, it's going to rust. our bodies wear out, everything else. He says, we need to keep our eye on the eternal things. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. And so, Paul says we need to keep our mind on eternity. And in the next chapter, chapter 5, he talks about some of the wonderful things that are ours as believers. In chapter 5, verse 1, Paul begins with saying, we know. He doesn't say, I hope, I speculate, I think, or it might be, or perhaps. He says, we know. Now remember, Paul was stoned to death. And those folks were pros at stoning. They knew when he was dead. And the scripture says that his friends came around and looked at him. They weren't trying to do CPR on him or anything else. They said, Paul's gone. Sad. And all of a sudden, Paul gets up. So Paul talks about going to heaven. And so the things he writes from an experience. And he says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house made, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so that being clothed we shall not be found naked. Paul talks about, hey, for the believer, there's a wonderful eternal body. He says it's a house that's not made with hands. It's eternal. And we want to be clothed with it. Now each one of us, I imagine if we just started, went around the room, most everybody except some of the younger ones has got something that hurts. It may be your arthritis, your bursitis, your neuritis, your rheumatiz or whatever. It may be that you're taking heart medicine, or maybe you're taking blood pressure medicine, or you've had surgery for this, that, or the other. One of these days, you're going to swap this old worn-out body for one that'll never know another pain. Amen. Never know another weakness. I remember when I could run up and down the steps, and now I use the rail to pull myself up and down the steps. And some of you are the same way. Paul says, hey, listen, if you're a child of God, look forward to that new eternal body. And it's going to be like the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we might be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. I love that. Took me a long time to realize sort of what it meant. I think many of you would remember seeing the cartoon drawing from time to time, and there's this little fish, and it's swimming along blissfully unaware that right behind it there's a bigger fish with its mouth open. And that bigger fish is blissfully unaware that behind it there's a bigger fish with its mouth open. And behind it there's an even bigger fish with its mouth open, with the idea that everybody's unaware they're about to get swallowed up. Well, the little fish doesn't turn around and swallow the bigger fish. The bigger fish swallows the little fish. He says, mortality, death, is swallowed up of life. If life swallows death, then life is bigger. The eternal life that Jesus gives us is bigger than death. To us, death is a big deal. It hurts when we lose our loved ones. It troubles us sometimes when we think of our own death. But the life that we have in Jesus Christ is bigger. Now, the New Testament doesn't tell us, the Gospels doesn't tell us all about everything that Jesus did. John says if we wrote it all down, there's not enough room in the world to hold all the books. But the three times in the New Testament where Jesus encountered death, what happened? There's this little 12-year-old girl. And her dad says, come to my house. And before they get to her house, the word comes, she's dead. And they get to the house, and guess what? The mourners are crying and boo-hooing and going on. Jesus, it's okay. And he and his two or three of his disciples and the mom and dad go in the bedroom where the little girl is. Jesus takes his hand and lifts her up, and she lives. Death swallowed up by life. On another occasion, Jesus is going to the city of Nain. He encounters a funeral procession. Young man's on the wagon or cart or whatever being carried out to be buried. His mom's a widow. Jesus stops. He touches the young man. That man's death is swallowed up by the life of Jesus. He stands outside of the tomb of Lazarus, his friend. Lazarus' sister says, hey, it's too late. He's been in there so long that his body has started to decay. Jesus said, that's no big deal. Just roll the stone back. Lazarus, come forth. Death swallowed up by life. Same in the life of Peter. They call one day and say, this lady named Tabitha or Dorcas, both names are listed in Acts, she's passed away. When Peter gets there and he prays for her, death swallowed up by life. Paul's preaching. He preached so long somebody falls out the window, three stories down, and dies. Paul goes and gathers him up. Death swallowed up by life. I love that. That because I'm a child of God and because you're a child of God, death will eventually claim us if Jesus doesn't come back first. But the death that the world brings that comes because of our sin, the death that comes because we are mortal, is going to be swallowed up by the life that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't just think of eternal life as long. Think of eternal life as big and magnificent and fantastic, because our death is swallowed up in life. Awesome to look forward to. That one of these days when you're a child of God, that death is going to be swallowed up in life. Don't think of your loved ones as just being gone. Think of them as having more life than they ever had when they walked the face of the earth. In verse 5, he says, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. He says, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. The down payment. The Spirit's our comforter, our teacher, our guide, our strengthener, our protector. Wisdom. Now in the stock market, insider trading, knowing things in advance, is wrong. But as a child of God, you can know things that other people don't know. You can be taught things that other people don't realize. You can be led in ways that others, because you have that indwelling Holy Spirit who is the Spirit of God. I have a pastor friend who back about 2005 had some money he wanted to invest. He had a good Christian brother that was in the stock market, you know, deal, and they set up a portfolio, and my pastor friend was just about to invest his funds. And you know what happened? 401s became 201s, in 2007, long about 2007-8, when the stock market tanked, my friend said right before he signed the papers, the Holy Spirit says, don't do it. And instead of losing half of his money, he kept it. It's amazing, if you will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, how he will lead you to call the right person at the right time, knock on the right door at the right time, ministry-wise. It's a joy, you know, whenever you drive up in somebody's yard and they walk out on the porch and say, preacher, how'd you know I needed you tonight? I didn't know you needed me tonight. I just felt led I needed to come to your house. He says, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't say if you're a preacher or if you're a deacon. Every child of God, when you're born again, the Spirit of God comes to live within you. And that Spirit is the down payment of that life I was talking about that you're going to have for all of eternity. Then he goes on to say in verse 6 through 8 of chapter 5, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and that willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Now, I don't know, you know, some of you I don't know, so if I step on your toes, I'm sorry. But I'm just going to show you what the Bible says. Absent from the body, if you're a believer, present with the Lord. Folks, that totally does away with reincarnation. That totally does away with purgatory. And that totally does away with soul sleep. All of which certain church groups believe. If you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. Now, that's what the Bible says. I didn't make that up. If you have a Bible, you go home and you look at it, and it says, absent from the body, and we're present with the Lord. Amen. That's the Word of God. And that's true for every believer. Now, he goes on to tell us in verses 9 and 10, wherefore we labor that whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. He's not talking about the great white throne judgment where people are assigned to hell, but he says of a judgment seat of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3, we won't turn there, but he talks about wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious gems. The life that we live, you will be rewarded. What you've done for Jesus, the ministries you've had, the prayers you've prayed, the classes you've taught, the people you've loved, the gifts that you've given, there will be a reward that you will receive there. And then verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In any group, there's usually two groups of people. Any group of Christians, there's usually two groups of people. There are folks that are here, and you're just like I was. You got saved at 8 or 9 or 10 years old, and you never really strayed that much. You never killed anybody. You never robbed any banks. You didn't do drugs. You lived a pretty good life, but it still took the same blood that saved someone else, it took the same blood to save you and to save me. And it takes the same sustaining Holy Spirit that takes a little boy or a little girl and guides him and directs him and empowers him to live a Christ-like life from 8 or 9 all the way to death. But then in any other group, there's also those that grew up without Jesus. Maybe you grew up in an immoral home, an ungodly home. And you did a lot of things that were wrong. You too can be a new creature in Christ. We never need to forget what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, that's sort of scary. Paul says here's a whole long list of folks that have lived an ungodly life and they're not going to heaven. Doesn't matter if they're members of a church. Doesn't matter if they're preachers. It doesn't matter anything. If they have lived an immoral life, they're not going to heaven. But the next verse is the good news. And such were some of you. Paul says, that's the way you used to live. That's the way you once were. But you are sanctified. That means you're made holy. You're made right with God. You're washed. Notice through the blood of Jesus Christ, your sin is washed away. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul gives you the bad news and says, hey, there's a group that's not going to heaven. And some of you folks I'm writing to, that you were in that group. But something marvelous and amazing and wonderful happened. Jesus came and made a difference. Jesus came and changed you. And oh, that's such good news. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Doesn't matter how ugly, how sinful, how terrible we are or have been, when we come to Jesus, he makes the difference. He makes it as if we'd never sinned. We stand before him pure and holy. Two other verses, 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. What's our motive? God's love for us. God's love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. God loves you. And it's that love that draws you. Don't come to Jesus because you're afraid. Come to Jesus because he loves you. That beautiful, beautiful story that Jesus tells that we call the prodigal son. That boy smelled like the pig pen. He stunk. He was in misery. He was a mess. And guess what? That father reached out and loved on him and welcomed him home. He didn't say, you stink, boy. Go take a bath and clean up. And then I'll welcome you. He said, welcome home, son. Get a clean robe and put it on him. Put shoes on his feet. Put ring on his finger. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. And every time a person is born again, the Bible says the angels in heaven have a party. Have a party. The angels rejoice over one lost sinner that's saved. Now, those of us here that are Christian, I pray that you'll leave here just praising the Lord for all the blessings that you have as a Christian. But if there's anybody here that has never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Christ died for you. He rose again. He offers you a new body. He offers you absent from the body, present with the Lord. He offers to make you a new creature, new creation. And he offers you the indwelling Holy Spirit. And I pray that you'll receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you've never received Jesus, would you come? I'm not asking you to join this church unless the Lord leads you to join this church. I'm concerned about where you're going to spend eternity. Are you going to spend eternity in heaven? I pray that every person here can leave this building, say, that's old enough, you know, hey, I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus lives in me. As we sing, would you respond?
Let's all stand, please. Room at the cross.
As you leave here this morning, be reminded Jesus lives, and may he live in your heart. And Jesus loves you so much that he died for you. And one of these days, a trumpet's going to blow, and he's going to come and get you. Are you ready? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you joy, peace, and a great awareness of the presence of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.